Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Father, we thank you as we draw this series, Anything is Possible, to a close. We thank you for what you've done throughout this series. And I pray, Lord, as I share my heart over these next few moments, that it would strengthen people. I pray we'd understand a little bit more about you and your character today. I'm so aware that so many people are struggling, dealing with pain, dealing with loss, dealing with grief. And Father, people are looking for answers, and we know that you are the answer. So bring comfort. Amen. Come on, one more time. Let's give God some praise. Everyone in the room, you guys can take your seats. April the 16th, I stood and watched as our dear sister Margaret Hussey spoke at her husband David's funeral. David was a stalwart of our church for nearly 45 years. He never missed a beat. Yet in his final few days, Margaret couldn't be by his side. And seeing Margaret at that funeral was unbearable to watch. On August the 6th last year, I received a call from Alan and Janet Brinkley to let me know that their 15-year-old granddaughter had suddenly passed away in tragic circumstances. And they said they struggled to even breathe. On December the 8th, just recently, dear brother Gordon, who's in the service this morning, he called me at 6 a.m. It was my birthday. And his first words were, "John, we lost her." He was talking about his dear wife, Poppy, who'd lost her fight to multi-neuron disease. The pain in his voice was tangible. On the 19th of January, just a few days ago, we had a Zoom call with our NHS workers and key workers in our church to listen and to hear their stories, to support and to pray. Steve, a nurse at the NHS, began to share his stories of trauma, crowded wards, people dying. And in that moment, the 50, 60 people on the Zoom call felt the pain that he'd been battling over the last 10 or 11 months. Never in 20 years of being in full-time ministry have I been involved and heard of so many people who are struggling with pain. Business owners, teachers, parents, marriages, students, children. The pain is real right now for people. We have unprecedented levels of pain in our world that I have never experienced in my lifetime. And one of the most complex questions that people are asking believers is, why is there so much pain in our world? How could a loving Heavenly Father allow so much pain to take place? If I'm honest, I've asked the same question. I want to tackle a subject this morning because in our series, Anything is Possible, I think we need to understand who God is and the character of God for us to understand how anything is possible in this season. So I want to tackle the subject, and I want to encourage everyone to take notes. I don't always say this, but I think this will be really relevant for people. You can pull out your phone or your iPad, your tablet, and jot some of these things. And the message is titled, "Why Does God Allow Pain?" Now, I'm going to give you a moment right now to invite someone to church. Normally, if you're in the room, you're sitting there, and you think, "Oh, I wish so-and-so was here." Well, the good news is you can text someone right now and say, "You should probably get to church." And they might be a couple of minutes late, but they can join in. So why does God allow pain? But before we tackle such a difficult subject, let's understand one thing at the start. God does not send pain. Now, the easiest way to explain this is What father in their right mind would ever inflict pain deliberately on their children? But who knows, our children suffer pain. They suffer pain because of the consequences of their choices. They suffer pain because other children or other young people's actions. But your loving Heavenly Father does not send pain on His children. When sin entered the world, pain entered the world. But pain isn't something new. It's been around since the dawn of time. 3,000 years ago, King Solomon asked God the same question. He said this in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 22. What do people get in this life for all their hard work and anxiety? Anyone ever asked that question? What's life all about? And then he says this, he says, their days of labor are full of pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. It is all meaningless. You know, there's a whole lot of people right now that feel life is meaningless. Have no fight to go on. Why? Because their days are full with pain. Now, this is, just remember, this is King Solomon who has all the fame and all the fortune possible, yet he is still experiencing pain. And the thing is, the season we're in, this is hitting everyone. From all walks of life, all backgrounds, all cultures, all salaries, this is hurting us all. Pain of losing a loved one, pain of losing a job, pain of losing personal touch with one another. As we wrap up this series today, anything is possible, but it's important for us to try and understand what God is doing right now. 11 months today. 11 months since we've been struggling with this pandemic. November the 24th, 2011 was a happy day in the Norman family. We headed to Cape Town Mediclinic in the Western Province, as Chantel was going to have her first child, our little miracle. She certainly has been a little miracle. We got to the reception and the lady said, "How can I help you?" I thought it would be obvious. I said, my wife Chantel, true story, I said, "My wife Chantel, she's going to be having a baby today and I'm looking for the cafe." True story too. So for the next 24 hours, as you mums know, Chantel endured significant pain, and I enjoyed lunch. And here's what I've learned about pain. Here's what I learned from both of my children and watching Chantel. Write this down. This is key to the season we're in. Pain with purpose is doable. Pain with purpose is doable. How many mums on the chat would agree? How many mums in the room would agree? The pain endured was worth it because of the purpose. When you're having that little child, you're not thinking so much about the pain. You're thinking about the purpose, the new life which is coming on the other side of the pain. And I'm learning this in this season. Pain without purpose is unbearable. But pain with purpose is doable. So the challenge we need to unpack here is, what is the purpose to our pain? Because if we can understand the purpose to our pain, then we will understand why God allows us to go through pain. So I'm trying to unpack and discover the purpose behind what we're all facing. COVID is a pain. Lockdown is a pain. Homeschooling is a pain. And by the way, homeschool parents, you are doing incredible. And if your little Johnny had a bad day on Wednesday and didn't do his work, it's okay. God is far bigger than him missing his maths on Wednesday. And I think our role of our kids is just to get them through this season and all will be well. There is a day coming where your kids will be back in the classroom. Okay, so just take the pressure off yourself. Take the pressure off yourself. So once we discover the purpose this season, by the way, this season will never be fun. but it will be doable. Okay, so I don't think COVID lockdown will ever be, oh, it's a fun season. I don't think that's what this season's all about, but I do know it's manageable, it's doable. If we understand the purpose to the pain we're facing. You see, pain which is not transformed is transmitted. So if we do not transform our pain into finding out what the purpose is, we transmit it to someone else and it hurts them. So it's important that we understand that God wants us to transform our pain into his purposes. If not, we will transmit it onto someone else and our pain becomes their pain, our load becomes their load. And so I want us to try and understand the season, the pain, the purpose of what we're all facing today. Is that okay? Okay, now the Bible is what helps us navigate pain. Okay? If you're trying to navigate this thing on social media, you're going to crash. If you're trying to navigate this thing by just calling your three best mates, that's great. But the Bible will help us, and every one of my points, I'm going to give you five keys to navigate this season, understand the plans and the purposes of pain for your life. But here's the deal. Every single one of these comes out of this book. So here are five purposes I've learned why I believe that God allows pain. Are you ready? Number one, purpose number one is this, is a new longing. A new longing. In pain, we will do one of two things. We will either run to God or away from God. That's what people do. Pain has a way, if you allow it, pain has a way to draw you closer to God like nothing else. David said this in Psalm 34, verse 4. He said, I sought the Lord. David was in trouble at this point in his life. He said, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fear or all my pain. I'll never forget. And for some of you, you've been through tragedy and loss and you can relate to this. But I'll never forget the days before and after my dad died 11 years ago. There were some of my most intimate moments of my walk with God. Because pain will either draw you closer to God or you will run away from God. And in this season of pain, God is saying, I am allowing this to happen because I want you to draw closer to me. Yeah. And during COVID, people are either running to church or running away from it. They're either running to their Bibles or they're running away from it. They're either running to their knees or they're running away from it. Because pain creates a new longing if you allow it. Pain is a revealer where our faith is at. Some of us were in love with God and some of us were in love with the church. So when you remove the church building, you remove the connection. But for others, this has been a time where we have had a new longing for God. I want to encourage you, don't wait to get back in the building to pray. Don't wait to get back into worship to worship. Cry out to God in this season. Say, God, in my pain, the purpose of my pain is I want a new longing to you. It's interesting in movies that when people are about to die, when people are about to, you know, have the trigger pull, here's what happens. They cry out. Who do they cry out to? God, Jesus. Why? Because it's a longing that God created inside of us. Isn't it interesting when things go wrong in people's lives? What we call it blasphemy, but isn't it interesting who they call upon? Why? Because God created a longing, even in the hearts and the minds of people who are away from him, who have never known him in their pain. Paul is in pain in the book of Corinthians. He is depressed. He is crushed. He is overwhelmed. And this is what he says. He says, we were really crushed and overwhelmed and feared we would never live through it. Anyone fear that? I mean, this could be written right now in 2021. We were really crushed and overwhelmed and feared we would never live through it. I mean, talk about the Bible being up to speed. We felt we were doomed to die. And saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. Wow. Anyone feel powerless? I mean, talk about the Bible relevant to today. And then Paul throws in this anomaly. He says this. He writes this narrative of doom and gloom. And then he sends in these four words. He says, but that was good. But that was good. What's he talking about? He's talking about in our pain, it creates a new longing for God. This is good. The pain is good. And then he explains why. He says, for then. He talks about what's happening. He talks about how he's feeling. But then he applies the application. He says, and then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone can save us. It's God alone who can get us out of the predicament our world is in right now. Right now, life feels really bad, but it's actually for our good. This belongs, as Paul said, into the hands of God. So we're going to put this into the hands of God right now. I want us all to stand really quickly, and in your room as well, everywhere you are, stand up. You're all right. You've been home all week. You'll be fine. Have a little stretch. Touch your toes. Oh, nearly. And you get back on Joe Wicks. We need to put our needs, whatever your needs is, back into the hands of God. I'm praying the first step in discovering this is there is a new longing for God again. This is my prayer, is God, use my pain for a new longing for you. Now, I want you to say that right now, wherever you are. God, use my pain for a new longing for you. Go on, you say it. God, use my pain. There is purpose in your pain. God, use my pain. What is your need? What is your fear? What is your struggle? God, use my pain for a new longing for you. I dare you right now in your kitchen to get desperate for God. I dare you right now in the room to begin to lift your hands and cry out to God. Do not suppress your pain. Confess your pain. Lift your hands and begin to confess and say, God, use my pain. Use my loneliness. Use my singleness. Use my poverty. Use everything I am going through for a new longing for you. You know, my kids love to sing in the rain. They love Mary Poppins, but I wonder if you can sing in your pain. Because it's one thing to sing in the rain, but it's another thing. Can you sing in your pain? Can you sing when everything is stacked against you? Can you sing when the world is coming at you? Come on, right now. Surrender to God. Surrender. Say, God, a new longing for you. A new longing for you. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah. Come on, all over the house, in every home, in every apartment, in every car. Come on, surrender your pain. Confess it to God. God, I give you my need. Create that new longing. Create that new space for Him. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you, God. You know, I could spend the whole sermon sharing messages of people who found God in their pain. Literally. Good friend Pete Reeve, who was able to lead to the Lord, met him at a sports event, lost his partner a few years ago, and been through so much pain in his life, yet in his pain, found a new longing, a new relationship. C.S. Lewis said this, he says, he shouts to us in our pain. He shouts to us in our pain. You can take your seats, but there is a new longing. Pain creates a new longing. We're going to have to keep moving. Number two is this. The second purpose of why God allows us to go through pain is it creates a new thanksgiving. How does God make us appreciate what we have? By putting us in the exact opposite situations. Some of you never realized how much you loved your family till they were removed from you for a season. Some of us took our National Health Service for granted. Some of us took our education system for granted. Some of us took our teachers. Oh, that's just their thing. They can deal with that. Now we realize we're in the hot seat. Wow, these guys are good. They got 36 in a class. I've got 3. I've got 2. And God said, he said, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm just going to allow this pain to remove things for a season. So we have a new thanksgiving for the things that we don't have. You know, I miss physical church. I think virtual church has been amazing. We're going to continue it, by the way. It's our new forever. We're always going to have virtual church. We're always going to reach people who can't get to the building and reach people in the four corners of this world. But boy, I miss the room. I even miss the crazy ones. I even miss the serious ones. The ones who smile on the inside. The ones who sit like that at me when I'm speaking. Do you know what? I even miss the ones who arrive late. I won't give names. I'd do anything for a room full of people. Even sat down with their hands in their pockets. Why? Because we took each other for granted. And God said, do you know what we're going to do? We're going to remove it for a season. I want you to remove the things that you love most in your pain. Because I want you to have a new thanksgiving for when I bring them back. Taking our freedoms for granted. We've taken so much for granted in this season. The Bible teaches us this as Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica. They've experienced unexpected deaths. And we're not sure what those unexpected deaths are. Some people predict it could have been a virus. It could have been persecution. We don't know what those unexpected deaths are. But Paul's response to those unexpected deaths, and they're in a similar situation. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. For you, Mum. For you, Dad. This is a choice right now. We choose to be bitter. If we choose to be bitter, we focus on all the things that we have lost. Or we can choose to be bigger and focus on all the things we have left. You choose. You choose whether you're going to see this season of being bitter or bigger. I want to grow in this season. And I worked out, I've put my kids to sleep for the last 335 nights straight, apart from one night in August. And Chantel desperately wanted me to all by herself. And so I gave in. But you know what? I hadn't couldn't a dream. 335 nights in a row, I've put my kids to sleep. How cool is that? I've got a new Thanksgiving for her. Come on, you got to be thankful. Every time you tuck your little tinkers in, you be thankful. You know, we always ask our kids, as you know, we've talked about this before, their highs and lows of the day, either at dinner or before they go to sleep. And you know, the last month, there's been a real shift in their response. They used to say, oh, playing with their friends at school, or going to the dinosaur park, or going to Bill's for breakfast, their favorite restaurant. You know, consistently it's being with you, Mummy and Daddy. Why? Because they're just thankful. And we're thankful. You know, I think our world is a better place because we're now thankful, not for what we have, but who we have. Oh, how good is what God is doing in our lives? We've got to shift our focus. Let's allow pain to highlight our gratitude. Thankful for His mercies. Thankful for His goodness. Thankful for furlough. You've not lost 20% of your income. You still have 80. You just got to decide which way you see it. You just got to decide which way you see it in the season. Thankful for church. You know, we've not lost a building in the season. We've gained hundreds of new members. Kids and worship and word and the pillars of our church remain strong in this season. I encourage you to stay thankful. Be thankful for your spouse. He's not perfect and she's not perfect, but you're going to make it. You made a covenant and COVID is not going to break that covenant. I'm going back to a new normal with a new thanksgiving, a new longing, a new thanksgiving. Are you ready? Number 3, a new cleansing. a new cleansing. Pain cleanses. God is cleansing us. Proverbs verse 30. Let me show you this. This is awesome. Good News Translation. King Solomon again. He says, sometimes, not all the time, he says, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Wow. Sometimes it takes a painful experience. You know, pain can be a stepping stone to maturity or immaturity. You choose, I choose. Now, I thought about this. This is my torch. Now, back in the day, before we had LED torches, they used to heat up on your finger, but now they're so low voltage that they don't. It's good to see you all. Just checking in on you. There we go. Everyone good? Now, we come to God because He is the light of the world. We are attracted to the light. The reason that people have come to Soul Church is they are attracted to the life, the laughter, the fun, the light. Jesus, the Bible says, is the light of the world. Okay? Light attracts people. This is light, the Bible says, a city on a hill that cannot be shaken. Okay? So people are drawn. Why do you think 10,000 people 13 months ago attended the Wonder? Because the light attracted them. There's something about this place when people walk in the first time, they go, wow. They can't put their finger on it, but the atmosphere, it's the light. It's like the happiest place in Norwich. But here's the thing. You don't change under light. You change under heat. Now, light attracts you. It draws you in. But the closer you get to the light, it creates heat. Now, heat brings change. Step number one, we become a follower of Jesus. We follow the light. Thousands of people have made that decision in Soul Church, both online and in the building. Thousands of people have made a decision to come into the light. But the next step, not everyone is willing. The next step, step two, is the Father wants us to become more like His Son, Jesus. And that means getting closer to the light, which means an increase in heat. And an increase in heat means that things in your life are going to have to shift. Things in your life are going to have to change. And when we get close to the heat is the pain. It either creates a maturity in us where we become more like Jesus, or we pull back. And I believe that heat is bringing a lot of things to the surface right now in people. People's imperfections, my imperfections as a leader are coming to the surface under heat. See, a lot of Christians sign up, but they never grow up. We sign up because we like the light. We like the moving lights. We love the glamour of church, but we don't like the heat. But the heat is where change comes. And it's not until we go through the heat of pain that we discover some of the stuff from our past. We discover some of the insecurities. We discover some of the rejection. We discover some of the stuff. And God is saying, you just got to keep getting closer to the light, because the closer to the light, I know it's going to get painful. I know it's going to get hard. But guess what? I can do my greatest work when you stay close to me. I'm not just light. I bring the heat. You think about silver. Solomon talks about it. Intense heat in the ore separates the dross from the silver. When the dross is removed, the silver can be used for the purposes of God. And I think in this season of pain, God is stripping away things from our life because we're all under the heat. And He's saying, I need, you know that little stinking attitude that you got? I just need to get rid of that because I've got got something ahead for your life, but I just got to allow you to go through this pain. And you know that offense that you held in your heart against that person? Hey, I just need you to let go of that, because I've got a plan and a purpose for you further down the track, and I want you to come closer to me. And in the heat, I'm going to mold you and shape you. I don't want you just to be drawn to the light. I want you to come under the heat. For some of us, we think God is punishing us. No, he's preparing us, because the dross is being taken away from our lives. I believe that God is separating and removing the dross in our lives, but also in our church and the church. So God, if you want me to be more like your son Jesus, I want to go under the heat. And if that means a season where pain brings the things to the surface, that's good for me. And I believe that God is cleansing his church. God is getting rid of things in the church globally that he's not pleased with. The church has been under the spotlight, but now it's under the heat. And the pain that we're going through is causing a cleansing. What is the purpose of church? What is the purpose of what we do? Is it to showcase our gifts? Is it for feel-good factor? Is it for community hangout? Maybe some of those are tiny parts of why God created the church. The purpose of the church is to introduce people to the love of Jesus. That's simply why we do what we do, is to introduce, whether it's a food package through the foundation van, whether it's a cup of coffee or a prayer on the street corner, is to simply introduce people to the love of Jesus. And God's saying, none of this stuff actually impresses me. None of the light stuff impresses me. What impresses me is when people want to step into maturity in Christ. And COVID arrives and God says, you know what? I'm going to use this for cleansing. I'm just going to cleanse some of the stuff. People who've got a wrong agenda, or people who've, I'm just going to cleanse some stuff, and I'm going to get the bride ready. I'm going to get the bride ready, because I want the bride to be spotless. The closer we get to Jesus, the closer we get to the light, we see how beautiful, we see how spotless, we see how perfect Jesus is. And the closer we get to Jesus, we become more like him. And it means that we're going to come under the heat, and parts of our lives and our character and our past are going to come. We're going to go, God, this is too much. And God's saying, just hang in there. Hang in there under the heat. And as you get closer to him, you become more like him. And more people experience his love. Number four, the fourth purpose why God allows us to go through pain, is this new understanding. 2 Corinthians 1 says he comforts us all. He comforts us all in our troubles so we can comfort others. Oh, wow. Here's what Jesus does with our pain. Are you ready? He redeems it. He redeems your pain. What the enemy meant for evil, God turns around for his good, for his glory. Come on, let's be honest. When I first heard of COVID-19, when the people of Wuhan went into lockdown over a year ago, I hardly paid any attention to it. Let's be honest. It was just another story in the background. Out of sight, out of mind. If it doesn't affect me, it doesn't matter. But what God does is God uses pain to sensitize us. He makes us sensitive now to, if you're struggling with depression, you're sensitive to those who are also struggling with depression. If you've gone through back pain, you're sensitive to those who are dealing with back pain. If you've gone through a divorce, you're now sensitive to those who are going through a separation or divorce. In other words, who can help someone better who's going for an addiction to someone who's been for an addiction? So God says, you know what, in this, I didn't put this on you, but I want you to have now a new understanding of pain. Who can help someone better than who's lost their business than someone who's been through the pain of losing a business? said it before, it's a cliche, but your mess will become your message. Chantel, she remembers as a little girl, a church delivering food hampers to her door. When she grew up in a suburb of Los Angeles where she had very little to nothing, she remembers churches dropping off food hampers. That's why she is so passionate about getting to the foundation on a Wednesday and packing some boxes and getting them out in the vans. Why? Because it was a box of food 30 plus years ago that saved her life. Because she understands what it's like. You see, I don't. I've always had meals on the table, but she knew if the box didn't arrive, she might not eat. So pain sensitizes us to people. And your pain right now is actually becoming your purpose. I spoke to Alan and Janet Brinkley on the phone yesterday and prayed with them and lost their daughter, as I mentioned at the start. One of the things Janet said, she said, I'm so passionate about helping people who've lost children. Wow. Suddenly, the pain. I'm not saying it's ever going to fully go away. It won't. It can't in this life. But suddenly, God is saying, look, I want to redeem it. I want to redeem your pain, and I want to turn it around and attach it to your purpose. Your greatest ministry will emerge from your greatest pain. Hang on, we're going to finish right now. New longing, new thanksgiving, new cleansing, new understanding. Number five, new birthing. This kind of just brings it down to land. New birthing. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What was the joy? The joy was you. The joy was your children. The joy was this city of Norwich. The joy that was set before him. He was on the cross. He was enduring the affliction, the pain, the torment, the agony. Yet in the back of his mind, he was thinking about you, Steve. He was thinking about you, Pastor Trevor. He was thinking about you, Gordon. He was thinking about you. He said, I'm going to endure the pain because I love Gordon so much. And God has allowed us to go through this season of pain so he can use it to birth new life. Let me show you something quickly. People will now listen to your story because you've been through the fire. People will listen to you. You know, the greatest witness of Jesus Christ, please take this in the right context, wasn't his birth, it wasn't his life, it wasn't his miracles, it was the fact that he endured pain. The greatest witness of Christ was he endured pain. He felt loneliness. He felt COVID. He felt sickness. He felt what you're feeling. And that is what gives the message of Jesus credibility. It's not because he just performed miracles or he lived his life. It's because he was born in a stable. It's because he endured the cross. He felt my pain because of the joy that was set before him. And I am prophesying a new birthing in this church. Business ideas will be birthed. New creativity will be birthed. New ways to reach people and love people will be birthed. Why? Because we are enduring the pain because of the joy and the dreams ahead of us. He took the cross. He took our pain. Out of your pain, something is being birthed. You might have lost everything, but something's being birthed will be greater than what is lost. You will look back in a year, 5 years' time on COVID-19, and you will see the purpose of God in this season. I'm going to finish with this. Today's pain will be tomorrow's blessing. Today's pain. The pain that you're facing right now, you just wait for God to redeem it. Here's the deal. We can waste our pain, or we can understand it, and we can transfer it, and we can use it. We can use it for new longing. We can use it for new thanksgiving. We can use it for new cleansing. We can use it for new understanding. Or we can use it for new birthing. This pain is not going to waste. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a homework exercise. Then we're going to pray. Has that helped anyone? Man, I had to work hard at that. Okay. This is really difficult, but I want you to do some homework, and I want everybody to do it. This is so important for our church. I believe this, what we do right now, has the potential to change the next 3 months of someone's life. Okay, here's what we need to do. Now, this is hard. I want you to write down the three most painful moments of your life. You can either do it now or do it later. I want you to think back. I know there's been a lot of pain for many of you, but I want you to write down the three most painful moments. For a young person, it could be getting the results back from your exams and they weren't the results that you studied for. For others, it could be the loss of a loved one. For others, it could be a promotion was promised and you were let down by an employer. But I want you to write down the three most painful moments. I'm just going to give you a second because this is critical. And I don't like digging up your pain, but I want you to just understand how God can use this. Now, next part of the homework is I want you to write down three names of people who are suffering with the same or similar pain to that you went through. Okay? I want you to write down three names. Now, here's what we're going to do. This week, we should do three things. So you're writing down three of your pains, three people who are going through the similar or the same pain. I want you to do three things. I want you to call them, pray for them, and invite them. Okay? Three things. Because you understand their pain. I don't. Because I haven't been through a divorce. I haven't lost a child. But I know people have. So I want you to use your pain for purpose this week. This is why God allows pain. He allows pain so we can help others. This exercise will help others in their pain. Luke 4:18, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Three pains, three people, three actions. That's your takeaway. Come on, let's stand in the room, stand in your front room, stand everywhere you are. We're going to pray. I believe God's Holy Spirit is going to place a seal on this message. I pray it's helped you. I pray that you get a greater understanding to pain. I haven't probably done it justice, but I've tried my best because I'm trying to figure out what God's doing in this season. And this whole point of a longing, thanksgiving, cleansing, understanding and birthing. Father, right now we receive this word. You didn't give us pain, but you allow us to go through pain. And I pray right now we would receive the word and Lord, that first and foremost, we would have a new longing and desire for you. We would run to you in this season. And Father, we'd be thankful. So much of our liberties, freedoms, family, pleasures have been stripped away from us. Father, I pray that we would be focused how grateful we are for those good times. Yeah. And Lord, that this be a new cleansing. Lord, as we come close to the heat, you would mold us and shape us and we'd become more like Jesus. And I pray we would have a greater understanding of those who are in pain. And in that understanding, something would be birthed, a new idea, a new ministry. Lord, we would give purpose to our pain. Father, I pray as we have thought about those three painful moments in our own lives, maybe of loss, separation, lack. Lord, we would attach three names, a attach three names to people who are going through something similar. And this week, we'd have the courage to call them, to pray for them, and to invite them. Lord, I pray that there would be a ripple of compassion. Lord, a ripple of thanksgiving, a ripple of longing and cleansing and understanding and new birthing flood through our church, Father. Oh God, we worship your majesty. We worship you. You are so beautiful, God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hope you received the word, church. I'm going to invite Rachel. She's going to come and pray for one more group of people. Amen.
What an incredible message. I know a lot of you might be feeling quite raw right now, but I want to speak the name of Jesus. And as Pastor John has been saying, bring purpose in your pain. Bring peace in your pain. I love the scripture that he mentioned in Proverbs that sometimes pain can cause us to change our ways. Right now, I want to extend an invitation into your living room. Wherever you are, if you're listening to this afterwards, God sees you. He knows you. He knows your pain. And I pray that this will be the opportunity today to say yes to Jesus. He can be the purpose in your pain. You see, sometimes it can be pain of those three things you might have noted down. Sometimes it's the pain of spiritually being away from Jesus. And we don't even know it. It can cause pain in our heart and in our lives. You see, Pastor John's first point was a longing, a new longing. And I believe more than ever, Jesus is creating a longing in mankind for him, a longing for more, a longing to belong, a longing to find home, to find purpose, a longing for a future that is secure where there's so much turmoil in our world. St. Augustine said, our hearts are truly restless till they find their rest in thee. Connecting to Jesus will connect us to his grace, to his purpose in your pain. You see, pain can be something in our past. Jesus wants to bring forgiveness. He wants to heal the pain of your past. Pain can be in your present. He wants to be with you right now in your pain. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross to be with you in your suffering, with you in your pain. And what's more, he wants to give you a hope for the future so that you know he can be with you in your life, in the highs and the lows of this life, but also eternal life. Where there will be, the Bible says, no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. And you will live with him for eternity. So can I ask right now that wherever you are, that you close your eyes, bow your head. I want to pray this simple but powerful, significant prayer. I want you to pray after me. You say, you need to know Jesus, the one that can bring purpose to your life and meaning. And a hope for your future. I want you to say this after me. Or maybe some of you, and a lot of you, we're finding have drifted away from God in this season through pain, through distraction, through distance. Come back to him today. Come back home. He's reaching out with arms of love. Repeat this prayer after me. Young person, older person. Young man, older man. Young woman. Young child. Say this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you see me as I am. You see my pain. You're reaching out to give me purpose, to cleanse me. Take my longing, fill it with your peace, and I will live with you forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, you shout a big amen. If you prayed that prayer and meant it, say amen in your heart. Amen means you have agreed. Come on, we are clapping. Come on, we can really clap. I want us to cheer. We're cheering you on. We're cheering you on. just all of heaven is having a big party right now because you prayed that prayer and meant it. And like Pastor John said, the prayer and maybe letting us know would be awesome. If you could pop it in the chat or text the number on the screen, or you can sign up on our website and say, I prayed that prayer. Step one is sign up. As Pastor John said, step two is when the heat comes on, we need to grow up. And we want to help you with that. So we want to call you. We want to encourage you. We want to send you any information. And download on YouVersion the Bible, because we want to be able to do all we can to see you grow as a child of God. Your best days are ahead. What an incredible message. Can we thank Pastor John for preparing such an amazing message, for toiling over that? It's a new day. It's a new longing, a new understanding, a new cleansing, a new, all of those new things. I'm ready for all that God has. Make sure you do that this week. Call someone and help them in their pain.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.